take your hands off that mute button, because the Lotus Effect is coming up right fucking now!
This is a new live son of a bitch.
Bull frickin' horse shit.
I hate to go all technical on you, but all hands on deck, swirly thing alert.
Attention.
Listen, you motherfuckers.
Buckle up, pedal heads.
You're experiencing the Lotus Effect with Phoenix and Phone Boy.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
You are my podcast, my only podcast. So if you fucking take my podcast away, I'm going to shove my foot so far up your ass.
It is out of sheer morbid curiosity I'm allowing this freak show to continue.
How do you fix that, though?
Take a big step back and literally
suck my dick.
Are you interested? I know you are, because it's fuck or walk.
You're shitting me.
Have you made your decision for Christ?
To tell you the truth, I don't give a shit.
Well, you know who else doesn't give a shit?
Phoenix and Phone Boy?
Ah, not them again!
Oh, they're horrible.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Right.
Right. We're going to start at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central. Not tonight, anyway. It happens. We're propagating the food formula, which is the provisional show title for episode 217 of The Lotus Effect. And as you know by now, I don't know, we make this shit up. I don't know, it doesn't matter. And I'm Phone Boy.
He's a jackass.
Yeah, he's definitely a jackass, but I love him, and it's quite all right, because, you know, I'm Phoenix.
Fucking bitch.
Yeah, well, sometimes we have those bitchy moments, don't we? But it's all good. And we'd like to welcome those of you who are listening to us, whether you're listening to us on LotusEffect.live right now, or
I'm going to talk about them, their bitchy moments, especially in Toast and Jam, and address this bruise here.
Yeah. Oh, yes, that's right. Yeah. Good Lord. Yes, that's right.
Son of a bitch. Yeah. I woke up this morning and went, oh my God, what the fuck did I do last night?
Well, we'll talk about that in Toast and Jam. But meanwhile, we'd like to welcome those of you who are listening to the show, whether you're listening live on LotusEffect.live or you're listening on a podcast app or even just going to LotusEffect.show and clicking on the episode, however you want to listen to us. We love you to listen. We love you to get something out of this. And meanwhile, we're freaking out.
What is this, a freak out?
This is kind of strange.
This is terrific.
I think I'm going to be sick.
Not a speck of light is showing, so the danger must be growing. Are the fires of hell aglowing? Is the grisly reaper mowing? Yes! The danger must be growing, for the rowers keep on rowing, and they're certainly not showing any signs that they are slowing!
I just had an orgasm.
The guy is jizzing all over himself.
I'm freaking out, man. You are freaking out, man.
Yeah, we're freaking out here because the Lotus is affecting us, and it might affect you a little differently. We recognize that the Lotus affects everyone differently. Sometimes it affects you the same way as it did before. Sometimes it affects you completely different. However, and wherever the Lotus is affecting you, we would love to hear about it.
I got mail. Yay!
I got you a dollar.
Yeah, we invest a lot of time in putting this shit show together. I mean, it's, you know, and we operate on the value for value model, which, of course, consists of the three T's: time, talent, and treasure, which is honestly, you could look at anything in your life in that context, right? Are you getting value out of what you're putting into it, right? Whatever it is. And, you know, you can send us money. And we have no issue with that. That's a way to support us and what we're doing here. You go to lotuseffect.show and there's a green We Like Money button there where you can send some cash via PayPal or Cash App. If you were using Cash App, you can use the hashtag $TheLotusEffect33. Now, we also have a merch shop at lotuseffect.shop where you can buy the crap that's been smeared with our brand feces. You can also do a one-time or recurring donation. Now, we actually did get some value this week in the monetary type, and that would be Cotton Gin with his $5 a month donation.
Oh, you the executive producer.
Yeah, and we appreciate that, Cotton Gin. We also appreciate DJ Lotus and Isobot and all the and other things that may be coming soon. Now, we also got this. Actually, Bully Steed dropped this in the chat last week. She, since we moved to 9 p.m. Eastern, yeah, we did get a few more people showing up during the show. And, yeah, Bully Steed had dropped a link to what we call X, Twitter, whatever the fuck it is now. Well, this was something that came off of it, and it said, okay, so in 1981, so this is SIDS disappeared in Japan after raising the age of vaccination to 2 years old. So... And I'll just kind of read this. I think this is along the lines of stuff we've been talking about here. So in 1981, Japan deployed the Tdap vaccine until children turned 2 years old. Japan holds one of the lowest infant mortality rates, while the U.S. ranks among the highest. Yeah, that means how often do infants die, right? During the 1970s, following only two reported infant deaths linked to the whole cell pertussis vaccine, or TDWP, intense public concern prompted the Japanese government to halt routine DTWP vaccinations. They later introduced the cellular pertussis version, or the DTaP version in 1981, but still limited its use to children aged 2 and older. Now, in 1993, Japan's Ministry of Health, Labor, and Welfare discontinued the combined MMR vaccine after it triggered a significant increase in severe adverse reactions, particularly aseptic meningitis, resulting in serious harm and fatalities. Yeah, none of that sounds good. So Japan now provides separate measles and rubella vaccines and has never reintroduced the mumps component of the MMR combination shot. That's interesting, too. And in 1994, Japan revised its Immunization Act, changing all childhood vaccinations from mandatory to voluntary/recommended status. This removed any penalties for declining vaccines and moved administration from mass public health clinics to individual choice via private doctors, prioritizing personal decision-making and informed consent. That sounds really good to me. I'm all about informed consent and, you know, making decisions and rather than having forced down your throat, which is the way the medical system seems to be in the U.S. And meanwhile, the U.S. continues to have the highest infant mortality rate among 16 other developed nations. And as of 2022, the CDC, or the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention of Your Health, reports that the U.S. rate at 5.6 deaths per 1,000 live births. Now, Japan's rate remains among the world's lowest at 1.7 per 1,000. The U.S. rate is more than three times higher. Yeah. So, you know, this thing about vaccines maybe not being so great, maybe there's
another reason why we support RFK Jr. saying accountability, motherfucker, to Pig Pharma.
Yeah.
For these vaxes.
Yeah, this goes along with the stuff that we've been reading in this Selling Sickness book, which we're almost done with, by the way. It's a great book. I think I've linked it previously, and I'll put a link in the show notes here. But yeah, we understand that you may not have the scratch to send us your cash, and we're not all about the cash, right? We do want to make sure that the investment we make in putting the show together is valuable to the people that are listening to it, right? And so, and honestly, what we find the most valuable is just showing up in the chat, right? Letting us know you're here, right? Letting us know you're listening, right? Now, the chat is definitely one way to do it, but of course if you're using a podcast app to listen to us, please rate and review us, please share with your friends, that kind of thing, right? Just propagate the formula, right? We can only mark, you know, I don't know how many podcasts are in the podcast index now, probably 5 million or something like that. I haven't looked recently, but anyway, probably
we're a little fish in a big pond, but we're having a great goddamn time doing it. And My oldest son actually propagated the formula to one of his gaming friends because she listens to podcasts, and he was like, well, I've got one for you. And I'm not sure if she's listened or not yet. I'll have to check back with him, but hey, you know, one plus another, and before you know it, we have a strong fan base of pedalheads.
Okay, so Cotton Gin is bringing the fact check in here. Okay, 4.6 million podcast. Okay, close enough, right? We were in the right order of magnitude. Anyway, so okay, now you can also interact with us. Now you're probably going to interact with, yeah, just like Cotton Gin. You can do it in the chat. That's probably the best way to do it. But we're not really on social. I mean, I'm on social just because I've been on social forever, and Phoenix here doesn't really do too much on social, but when we're doing social, it's usually Mastodon. Well, yeah, she doesn't do it.
Yeah, I'm gonna clear the record because I do not do socials. Massive Dong is the only quote social that I participate in. I'm not on X. I'm not on Facebook. I'm not on Titter, Twitter, Twit. I don't care. I'm not on any of it. I'm not social.
Well, you are on YouTube, though, because, of course, we have videos, but...
Yes. However, I want to state the fact that I am not featured in those videos. My recipes are the preparation and completion of them. However, me, myself, and I am not the star. The recipe, the food, is the star.
That's right. Well, anyway, if you want to reach out to us on the Massive Dong, i.e. Mastodon, you can find me at phoneboy@lotuseffect.social. You can find my partner here at PHEONIX. Yeah, that's a different spelling than the usual. At lotuseffect.social. We take email. You can send us feedback at feedback@lotuseffect.show if you wish. You can also contact us in the back. Contact us, and if you want to send us something via the snail mail, that we've had that happen a few times. But where we get the most value is, you know, basically show up when we do, right? We're invariably on this stream, you know, either. So on Fridays we're either doing Rideshare Radio, we're 2.5 bends, which is the tech show we do with Sir Bemrose, Fridays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central.
Which I want to highlight, we were supposed to be doing a 2.5 bends next week. Unfortunately, Sir Bemrose is going under the knife and will not be able to speak in his normal snark and ability. So we're giving him the week off. We, however, will come back loud, proud, long, and strong for a double shot of 2.5 bends the next 2 weeks after. So just you wait.
Oh yeah, when we build up with this from, yeah, the snark, you know, just a snarknado.
Yeah, if we have to take a week off to do, you know, if we have to take a week off from 2.5 bends, when we do come back, there's more stories and at least triple, not double, the snark from Acer Bemrose.
Yeah, and the snarknado will just build here. So anyway,
hold on, because Cotton Gin says I think you should make him do the show anyway. We might actually just have to have him show up on Clean Feed, and we'll go from there. I don't want to torture the man and make him talk literally for hours. Essentially, I think maybe if he wants to jump in and hang out, maybe even Clean Feed to see what those anesthetics are about. However, the procedure is in the morning, so the anesthetics will probably be worn off by then.
All right. We also we also do this show called The Lotus Effect that we try to start on Saturdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, although sometimes we get a little while, and that's why we play music and
yeah, and I mean, for anyone who listens to the off-hour stream, we haven't yet changed the bumpers from our original time of 5 Eastern, 4 Central, to the new time of 9 Eastern, 8 Central. But we think it works for us. We think it works for you guys because y'all keep showing up week after week to play with us, and we thank you for doing that. So
exactly.
There's another way that they can feedback.
Okay,
though.
That's right. So actually what you can do, right? Well, okay. You go to lotuseffect.live if you want to figure out how to interact with us in the chat and all of that, and also listen to the off-hour stream or whatever. It's there. Now, one of the ways you can interact with us, aside from the Massive Dong, is to call or text 253-237-3321.
One ringy dingy. Two ringy dingy.
Dell Computers, this is Chip.
I'm sorry, sir, but that line is boozy.
Yeah, and we're even making suggestions for other people's shows in the chat right now. This is the great stuff. But when you call 253-237-3321, you should have a reason for doing so. You can, of course, use that to send us feedback. We'll take the feedback, everyone, and we'll play it on the show. But what we usually do is their audience interaction, or what we call the weigh-in topic. We've called it all kinds of things previously, but we call it the weigh-in topic. And so this is where we want to find out from you what you think about something, right? And last week it was, should we get rid of daylight saving time, which I still have that in the script, but I
so if know. You haven't called 253-237-3321 to tell us if you think we should get rid of daylight savings time, you can do that in addition to calling and telling us what you think the first sign of spring is for you.
That's right. Which is we'll talk about that, right? So it was actually warm enough that I opened the sliding door today. And actually we
burped the house.
Yeah, we burped the house a little bit, which is always great. So anyway, 253-237-3321. And of course, you know, after that, I think we've explained ourselves. So let's take it from Dr. Johnny Fever.
So just sit right down, relax, open your ears real wide, and say, give it to me straight, doctor, I can take it.
But we're not taking this.
We don't want your shit.
Please don't send us your shit.
Yeah, look, we take good-natured ball busting, but there's a line, folks, and you know what it is. Don't be a dick, you know. be respectful. We're being respectful. Yeah, we get a little raunchy here, and we and a little.
That's why you people tune in.
That's right. But you know, like I said, we're not taking your shit, right? We're better than that. We deserve more than that. And you know what? I think by this point we're like an hour. Yeah, we're at 9 p.m. Central time rather than Eastern.
Well, I mean, it was pointed out by, I believe, Sharky that it's 9 p.m. Eastern somewhere.
That's right. Well, yeah, it'll be 9 and like, I know it'll be anyway. That's old. The whole daylight savings time thing. I think I'm confused.
Fuck daylight savings. And at that, we're going to listen to Leslie Nielsen.
I just want to tell you both good luck. We're all counting on you.
To do what? I'm not sure. But all right. But we are going to go through some health stories here. So this is the first half of the show. And I can tell you that our... Oh, okay. Wait a minute. We have to deal with a... no. Okay. Oh, we don't.
It scared me. It was...
Yeah. Yeah. That's one thing we get in this. Yeah, it's we don't tend to kill bugs unless we need to, and we I don't know that they're ladybugs or that these Chinese M beetles or something but we're trying to get it off of her leg here. So
now it's on my hand. I have no problem with it.
Yeah.
It doesn't bother me.
Yeah. In fact, I'd like to try to put it here. Yeah, exactly. Yes, exactly. She's trying to get it off there.
Yeah. I know I'm muted and everybody loves when I do that. No, I just, I like the little Chinese beetles or ladybugs, whatever the fuck you call them. The more spots they have, the older they are. And I'm not trying to end that life anytime soon. But I was just sitting here as Phone Boy was finishing up the advice and whatnot for the opening. And I felt something on my leg and I'm like, okay, is the cat sniffing me? And I look down and there's this adorable little ladybug just crawling up my leg. And I'm like, okay. And that's why Phone Boy was concerned, because he didn't know if it was something like a spider where I'm going to pee all over myself and come unglued and go screaming out of the studio, or just a innocent little ladybug. So, you know.
Yeah. Well, there we go. Yes. Yeah, because we do occasionally get bugs in here. I'm going, how the hell did this get in here? It needs to die. And it's the kind of stuff you look at and go, no, I don't even want to try and relocate that thing. It looks almost like there's this bug around here that looks like kind of almost like a centipede. It's not quite, but it's just this. It's the thing that was on the wall the other night that we.
Okay, time out. Fourth wall break. Which wall?
On the second floor. You were standing there. You were coming around the corner, and we saw something. And like, what, you know? You and I investigated what it was, and I had to go kill it because it was not.
Oh, that's what you killed?
Yes.
Shit, I'm glad you didn't tell me. Yeah. I hate those damn things.
Yeah, those things are ugly.
But anyways, you know what? It doesn't matter about those. What matters is that our health segment is never, ever, ever going to be...
Brought to you by Pfizer.
Nor will any part of our show. This isn't a health segment. This is the first half, right? Because we just do health stories.
The whole damn show is the health segment anymore. But yeah, it's the first half.
It's the first half. So speaking of the first half in health, let's talk about five dangers hiding in your processed food.
Don't eat that.
Yeah. Now we know. I think if you've been listening to us, you know that ultra processed foods aren't that great for our health. But spotting them isn't always easy because there's lots of rules that let them lie or obfuscate what they're actually putting in the food, right? So there are plenty of everyday foods that look like they're harmless, but they might have overly processed ingredients that may be bad for us. So as a bit of a public service here, five things you need to look for, right? And it's really things you should really try to limit or avoid if you're putting your health first. And the first one is artificial colorings. Now, artificial colorings, right? These are these lab-made chemical dyes added to foods to enhance or replace color lost during processing. Or, you know, it makes your Fruit Loops, all colorful, or your Fruity Pebbles or whatever the hell you eat, right? In the EU and the UK, these appear as E numbers on ingredients list, codes used for additives that have been tested and approved for use in food. Or in the US as FD and C colors, which is food dyes and cosmetics or something, I think is what that means. Or US food, drug, and cosmetics. Cosmetic dyes approved by the FDA, right? So you'll see these numbers. So the three that raise the biggest red flags are tartrazine, which is either known as E102 or FD&C yellow number 5, sunset yellow, which is E110 or FD&C yellow 6, and Allura red, E129 or FD&C red 40. These Dyes are used in sweets, fizzy drinks, desserts, and breakfast cereals. Sounds like all the things you should be avoiding anyway. They also sneak into less obvious foods like sauces, cheese, and vegan meat alternatives, where they'd be used to give a more meat-like color.
Jesus, Harry, Christ on rubber crutches, will you fucking people stop being like, oh, I'm a vegan, I don't eat meat, but I want this meat substitute to bleed. Stop it. Eat a fucking steak.
Yeah, or eat something that actually looks like vegetables. That's something that, okay, yeah. Like,
here's the thing. If you don't want to eat meat, stop eating something that looks like meat to fit in with your friends or whatever. They already think you're a fucking cunt. You're not going to change it by eating something that looks like a burger because all the rest of your friends know that eating meat is the best way to get all of the vitamins and minerals that you need.
So I want to point something out, right? Because What's happening with Beyond Foods, right?
You're talking about the fake burger people?
Yeah.
No, dude, they're tanking like the Titanic.
Yeah, because what they did, so the entire reason that they made this food, right, that looks like something, that's to get people that aren't vegans, because people that are actually serious about being vegans are going to do exactly what you said, right? Eat something that is, you know, they're going to eat something that doesn't look like meat, right? And so when these motherfuckers tried to actually, you know, fool people into thinking, and in fact, they did shit, you know, I remember them doing this in some years ago, right? They'd put this shit next to the real meat and make it like we'd pretend that it wasn't, you know, that it wasn't there. Oh my goodness. Okay. My camera's doing something there.
It was powering off.
Yeah, it was because it was uploading stuff to the cloud, to the cloud, to the cloud. Anyway,
there's no cloud. It's just someone else's computer.
That's right. Anyway, but nobody bought it, and everybody was pissed off because it was like they co-located this food that pretended it was meat. It wasn't meat, right? And so yeah, they basically consumers were like, "Fuck this shit," and that's why nobody's. It's like not even the vegans want to eat this shit. So that should tell you something, right?
Remember, Weirdo had posted a few weeks ago in the chat that vegan turkey dinner, and it was, oh God, just thinking about it, if I'm going to eat turkey, I want it to actually have gone at some point.
Yes. Anyway, these dyes are best known for their links to behavioral effects in children. Oh, great. Yeah. And we put them in kids' cereals. How fantastic. Safe for whom, effective at what? That's what I want to know. A large amount of research has connected them to hyperactivity, difficulty concentrating, and mood changes in some kids. They may worsen ADHD symptoms.
Don't look at all the sugar that's in that, though. Because, yeah, these dyes are just as bad, in my opinion.
Yeah. In the UK and EU, foods containing these colors must carry a warning saying they may have an adverse effect on activity and attention in children. As a result, many UK brands have quietly removed them, and the Food Standards Agency actively encourages manufacturers to cut back. Now, in the US, it's these same dyes are still widely used and don't need warning labels, so you might want to keep an eye out for them. Of course, if you're eating breakfast cereal, you probably shouldn't anyway. Now, the growing concern has led to restrictions in schools and increasing pressure to tighten the rules. Okay, that's just one thing. Let's talk about nitrates and nitrates. These are preservatives that are commonly added to processed meats such as bacon, sausage, ham, and deli meats to extend their shelf life and give meat its familiar pink color and tasty cured flavor. Now, nitrates themselves aren't harmful, but bacteria used in food processing in the mouth can convert them to nitrites. We'd particularly advise looking out for sodium nitrate, potassium nitrate, and potassium nitrate. These are more reactive and in the acidic environment of the stomach can form nitrosamines, nasty compounds linked to increased risk of bowel cancer.
Phone boy, do me a favor. Slow down when you pronounce them so that they can hear the difference between nitrate and nitrite.
Nitrite and nitrate. Nitrite. Nitrate.
No, I'm being serious.
Oh, I know. I
when you read the thing, just make sure that you're being...
Yes, I understand.
Pronunciating it so they know the difference, please.
Yes, I understand. Well, but they're throwing them in the same bucket, which doesn't help. For this reason, in 2015, the World Health Organization, International Agency for Research on Cancer, declared processed meat to be carcinogenic. In UK, scientists are now urging the government to put cancer warnings on bacon and ham. Oh, God. All right. Adding to the body of evidence, in January 2026, two large French studies linked higher intakes of nitrites, and other common preservatives to both cancer and type 2 diabetes. These findings came from the NutriNet Santé cohort, an ongoing French population study that tracks the diets and health of more than 100,000 adults. What else are these fucking people eating? That's what I want to know. This is the only study in the world able to accurately quantify exposure to a wide range of food additives and the link to long-term health outcomes in real-world diets, says some expert that I'm not even gonna say their name. In the cancer study, higher intake of sodium nitrite was linked to an increased risk of prostate cancer. By age 60, the absolute risk, and by the way, I want to point out that this is the first time, this is one of the few times I've seen absolute risk actually quantified, because they'll say, oh, it's higher, right? Okay, so for example, the actual proportion of people who developed disease rose from around 3.4% in lower consumers of nitrites to 4.2% in higher consumers, which, okay, so that's probably a 33% increase, something along those lines. I'm just doing that off the top of my head. A similar pattern was seen for breast cancer, where higher intake of potassium nitrate was associated with an increase in absolute risk from about 4.8% to 5.9% by age 60. Yeah, it sounds a lot less scary when you put it in absolute risk numbers, right? And a lot of the stories don't do this. And this was one of the few stories I found. It was they actually did that, and I'm quite happy with that. Now, while these risk increases are modest for individuals, even small rises in absolute risk could translate to significant number of additional cases across the population. So yeah, they're still buying into the narrative. But here's what we can say. So here's emulsifiers. This is the next thing. And unfortunately, they're pretty much in everything, right? They're even in the heavy cream that you buy in the grocery store, sadly, right? They help ingredients like oil and water mix and stay stable, giving foods both a smoother texture and a longer shelf life. So yeah, I'm pretty sure that in the heavy cream that it actually keeps it consistent, because I have a cream that I buy from a local dairy and it does get a little clumpy at times. And I'm guessing that probably, and you just have to shake it up. But yeah, and it also does keep it, does keep it longer, because about the time I open one of the containers from the local thing, it's about 3 days before it starts smelling funny. So now, out of the long list of emulsifiers used today, carboxymethylcellulose and polysorbate 80 have consistently shown up as the bad guys. And you'll find these in mass-produced bread and baked goods, ready meals, frozen pizzas, burgers, and chicken nuggets, sauces, spreads, and sweets, and also heavy cream. Now, the main worry is how they affect the gut microbiome, which is the trillions of microbes living in and interacting with your digestive system to help keep you healthy. Now, several studies suggest that carbomethylcellulose and polysorbate 80 can interfere with this delicate environment. Now, in one study, both emulsifiers caused lasting changes to gut microbes and altered the microbiome in a way that promotes gut inflammation. Now, chronic inflammation like this is thought to increase the risk of conditions such as inflammatory bowel disease and metabolic syndrome, which in turn raises the risk of type 2 diabetes and heart disease. Now, these emulsifiers are still considered safe by food authorities, meaning the food makers won't get sued for using them, right? And experts say there's no need to avoid them entirely, especially as they appear in many foods that also provide important nutrients. Wait a minute. Just because it has poison in it doesn't mean, anyway, like, okay, I get it, right? But it's in everything, and yeah, you have to be careful and, you know, minimize your consumption of it. Now, enterified palm oil. Now, that's a word I'm having trouble pronouncing. Enterified palm oil is a common ingredient in ultra processed foods such as margarines and spreads, biscuits, cakes, and pastries, and chocolate, as well as some dairy alternatives. Through the enterification process, fat molecules are chemically rearranged so the fat behaves differently. It makes the spreads easier to spread, for example, as well as flakier baked goods and products that last longer on the shelves. Enterasterified fats were introduced to replace trans fats, which are known to be extremely bad for heart health. While they're widely seen as a safer alternative, we still don't fully understand their long-term effects on health. So why do we say that they're safe and effective? Well, again, safe for who and effective at what? Now, one of the biggest problems is that these fats are hard to spot because there's simply no requirement for food labels to say when a fat has been enterasterified. So it may simply appear as palm oil on the ingredients list. That means most people have no idea how much they're eating, and researchers don't know yet how much the average person consumes either. So I guess I would be – so we, because we've said that palm oil is safe, I'd be – I'd be just – I'd I would – be careful about it, I think, depending on what it's in.
If you're really looking to use palm oil, go to Mountain Madness and use their soap. They use palm oil.
Yeah, well, that doesn't go in your body either. It just goes on your body.
No, that's the point, though, yeah. Is that it's saponified, not interestified.
Yes. I think the same thing is with Dr. Bronner's as well, which, you know, anyway. Now, the last thing, which we've talked about a lot, is high fructose corn syrup. Now, a large body of research links high fructose corn syrup intake to several serious health problems such as fatty liver disease, insulin resistance, type 2 diabetes, obesity, and heart disease.
And none of these are a surprise considering we have been screaming into a microphone for 4 years, basically, about how bad high fructose corn syrup is and the fact that when it was introduced into the food system in mainstream back at the beginning of the 1980s is when the massive spike began in cases of diabetes, obesity, and all the things that it lends a very heavy hand to.
Well, I also think that high fructose corn syrup, because it doesn't satiate you the same way that, say, a cane sugar sweetened thing might. You consume more of it because your body's going like, what the fuck, man? I taste this sweet thing, but I'm not getting what I expect. I need more of it, right? And so it literally makes you addicted to it. I noticed this when the soda switched from, you know, when they switched from cane sugar to high fructose corn syrup, I started drinking a whole lot more soda, right? And yeah, and even and switching to diet, yeah, that causes other issues. But yeah, that's why I don't drink any of that stuff anymore, right? And it can upset your gut microbiome because studies suggest it reduces good gut bacteria, increases inflammation, and weakens the gut lining, which may contribute to weight gain, poor blood sugar control, and the digestive conditions such as irritable bowel syndrome.
I mean, this stuff is truly one of the most nefarious ingredients out there, and yet the FDA has not said, pull it, you're not allowed to use it. If anything, their pockets are being lined from the dirty money that the sugar industry, who produces this high fructose corn syrup, is making for killing people.
Yeah, there you go. So as a guideline, the WHO recommends keeping free sugars, all sugars added to foods, plus those found naturally in honey, syrups, and fruit juices, below 10% of your energy intake. On ingredients list, high fructose corn syrup is usually listed as high fructose corn syrup in the U.S., while in the U.K., and the EU, it often appears as glucose fructose syrup or fructose glucose syrup, which...
What does it matter? Tomato, tomato, glucose, fructose, glucose. At the end of the day, it's all sugar. Your liver is a meritocracy and does not care where the sugar comes from. And it's worse for you with what it does to your body than the natural sugars like honey and things like that.
Yes. So... Yeah. Anyway, the palm oil thing was probably the most surprising thing in here. But it doesn't surprise me that there's some loophole that lets them lie about, disclose the full nature of what's there. It's kind of like natural flavors. Well, it's probably if they have to list it as natural flavors, it's anything but.
I wish I had thought to have the rant on hand of you discussing beef having natural flavors and what natural flavors does it need. It's a cow. It should taste like fucking cow. It's a beautiful, epic rant.
All right. Well, it's your turn to rant in this next story.
It is my turn to rant in this next story. And rant I will, because why have Americans turned against this life-saving medication?
Drugs? I'm not taking any drugs.
Statins. You know you hate them. You know we bitch about them. Yeah, they're one of modern medicine's miracles. Bullshit. For every 10,000 people who take these cholesterol-lowering drugs, 1,000, just 1,000, will avoid major cardiovascular events. When you consider that cardiovascular disease is America's top killer, and 92 million Americans are currently taking a statin, thousands of lives every year are being saved. There are essentially no other prescription drugs that offer such tremendous obvious value. Wow, who the fuck wrote this? A drug rep?
Trust me, I cut out a lot of the stuff in here that got really bad after a while.
Oh, I'll Waldorf and Snap. Yeah, Waldorf and Snatler. Go there. I will Waldorf and Statler this because you know how much I dislike statins. So the question is, why is the internet doing its best to convince you otherwise about this drug? Well, the idea that statins are just a profit-pushing venture for Big Pharma, a conspiracy made famous by the 2012 film Statin Nation, is everywhere on YouTube and social media feeds today. Yeah, it's also fucking true, but don't look over here. Again, Selling Sickness, get the book. It talks about statins. It talks about IBS. It talks about sexual dysfunction and made up conditions that the pharma company is loving feeding you pills for. But I digress. In the UK, an estimated 200,000 people went off statins amid all the negative press coverage in the wake of the film's release, and the backlash has only grown in the years since. In the past decade, a growing number of terminally online doctors, and yes, it does say terminally online doctors, non-credited influencers, and patients have blamed statins for a litany of health problems, depression, kidney failure, and perhaps most pervasively for a drug developed to prevent heart attacks, weight gain. Isn't that delightful? You take this and you get fatter, which then makes your heart have to work harder and is an exact opposite of what this drug is supposed to be doing, which is preventing you from having a heart attack. I don't think the irony is lost, however. Now, U.S. Health Secretary U.S. Health Secretary RFK Jr. has added fuel to that fire, citing statins as another example of America's healthcare system over-medicating its people with vaguely dangerous consequences. Say it again for those in the back, sir. So people's sentiments about statins on social media have grown significantly more skeptical, with the percentage of posts expressing doubts increasing from 26% to 40%. It's almost 50% of the people saying, hey, I'm not really feeding into this bullshit anymore. And I'm impressed by that.
Yeah, well, that's only of the people that are active on social media. I don't really talk about any of this stuff on social media anymore, so they wouldn't. There's probably a silent, they could even be a silent majority here of people that are just like, yeah, I don't see any benefit in this. But we don't know. I mean, it's all guesswork and shit. But yeah, I mean, the fact is that they're, yeah, of the people who participated in the survey, so to speak.
Exactly. So a person, my God, the coffee must not be working. A person exposed to doubts about statins on Instagram or TikTok is less likely to take the drugs. Well, no shit, Sherlock. So less than half of Americans who are eligible for a statin are actually taking one. Just, I gotta stop right there. Eligible! Eligible! That fucking word! Like you're trying to qualify to take a fucking drug that's going to cause you to get diabetes, gain weight. Oh, you did this to trigger me. I know you did.
No, well, no, this was a story. The reason I picked this story is because it covers things we've talked about in selling, that we've been reading about in Selling Sickness.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. But this is, that's what they do. That's what they do in these drugs, right? They just literally keep, it's much like with blood pressure, right? They've lowered and lowered the what's considered like, you know, what you should have to make it so that more and more people could be eligible to get these drugs, which then the doctors push, right?
Because and they have a quota. We've literally talked about this and confirmed this with pharma rep that I had in my car, that there's a quota that doctors are given. If they don't write a certain number of prescriptions, they are penalized by these drug companies. It is real. It is happening. It is disgusting.
And then when you see with and then when we read Bottle of Lies, which of course with statins are mostly you're mostly taking generic drugs. Oh yeah, when you find out what goes into the generic drugs, you won't want to take anything from pharma.
Well, we'll report back on that particular book and the contents of which and whether or not it's worth owning. It's worth owning, but
yeah, I've read it before, so yeah,
I didn't realize you had actually read it before.
I've at least read part of it, so yeah.
You're gonna read the whole thing this time because we own it and we're gonna. But we're gonna talk more about the high costs of U.S. healthcare certainly playing a role in the low uptake. But it's fair to assume the statin backlash is an important factor too. Researchers have compared the anti-statin influence to vaccine skepticism. Two effective medical interventions undermined by misinformation. No, I don't think it's misinformation, folks. I think people are just waking the fuck up to the fact they've been over-medicated for decades and the harm that it really is causing. Now, no, statins are not making you fat or depressed or hurting your kidneys. According to a new massive study published in The Lancet...
So you know it's the giant voice system.
Oh, big time. Well, they collected data from more than 120,000 patients participating in 19 different trials, following people for 4+ years on average after they began taking statins. Crucially, this allowed them to properly randomize people as they were in the trials to isolate the health effects of both being on a statin and not being on one. Yeah, if you're on a statin, you're fucking dead, man. And if you're not, you're not. So almost none of the side effects they tracked meaningfully increased for people who took a statin compared to those who did not. Right. Interestingly, one of the statistically significant side effects causing type 2 diabetes. You're damn right that's significant,
yes,
folks.
Which is why when I asked my doctor, why am I taking a statin? And he said, well, it reduces the risk of X. I said, well, I want to find out if I actually have that or not. Please do a calcium scan and tell me whether I, and we will, and if I've got an actual problem, yeah, okay, a statin might help me. However, if you can't prove to me that I actually need this drug, I'm not taking it. And yeah, when it came back with a zero, my doctor was like, yeah, no.
Yeah, so here's the thing, guys. Phone Boy has said it before, and we're going to keep saying it. If your doctor wants to put you on a statin, have him... Do not just go, oh, okay, I'm overweight, and I'm this age, and yeah, doc, I'll just take the drug. No, make that motherfucker do some work. Make him send you for the tests that prove you need that drug. I am so sick of people being needlessly prescribed medications because, oh, you fit the criteria. You meet the, you know, requirements. What the fuck? Sorry, I'm on a tear, y'all. And these drugs annoy the crap out of me because of how dangerous they are. The risk is not worth the reward. I am telling you, I have seen it time after time. So the research... Did you want to say something, Phone Boy?
No, I'm good.
Okay. The research noted there were notable increases in abnormal liver readings and changes in urine among statin-taking patients. Hello? How much more do you people need to prove that this shit... They literally were claiming, oh, it's nothing, but increased abnormal liver readings. That right there tells you you've got a problem. But the actual health implications of those events are not well understood, though more research is warranted. Yeah, the buzzword there. The liver findings in particular were not that surprising. Many prescription drugs put at least some strain on your liver, whose job is to process the medication. Yes, that's very true, but it shouldn't put so much strain on your liver that it starts becoming an issue. And abnormal liver readings? Yeah, that's an issue. Just saying. So whatever side effect... I'm sorry. Here's what you need to understand about the study. Whatever side effects statins do cause, they're still worth taking for the enormous life-saving potential. Bullshit. Even if you do put on a little weight while on a statin, your chances of having a heart attack are still greatly reduced.
But you might get type 2 diabetes if you don't already have it, which is usually when they put these...
Yeah, because this is part of what we call the fat man cocktail, okay? The diabetes medications, if you don't already have it, you probably will taking this drug. I could name the medications, but I'm not even going to give them precedence. Because if you're on the fat man's cocktail, you already know that you're on the fat man's cocktail. Nobody is fooled by this. There's three particular medications, one of which is a statin, the other two of which are diabetes drugs. Because you're not going to get your A1C down enough on just one of these drugs, you're going to end up on the other one. Even if you don't need it, they're going to make you need it.
Yeah, and there's more drugs behind that.
Oh yeah, it's the gift that keeps on giving them all the money and you all the death. So of course, the article simply assumes that statins have any benefits for the majority of people that are on them. They even spend time talking about a conspiracy theory movie called Statin Nation that obviously speaks against the mainstream narrative that this media outlet is probably paid to propagate. You know damn well that's exactly what it is. And I almost think we should put the waste of our time into watching this movie just to see how good is it. How fucking accurate are these people digging in and sticking it up Big Pharma's keister? I might invest some of my hard-earned time in that.
Well, I think if we can find it on YouTube, I think we will. But anyway, let's talk about something else we rant about. Something else that's important. Microplastics. Guess where they were found? In prostate tumors.
I just want to say one word to you. Just one word.
Yes, sir.
Are you listening?
Yes, I am.
Plastics.
Exactly. How do you mean?
There's a great future in plastics.
Yeah, there is a great future in plastics. And yeah, we can find Statin Nation on YouTube, by the way. So now there's a new study where researchers found microplastics deep inside prostate cancer tumors, raising more questions about the role the ubiquitous pollutants play in public health. The findings, which come from a small study of 10 men, were presented Monday at the American Society of Clinical Oncology's Genitourinary Cancers Symposium and have not yet published in a peer-reviewed journal. Now, in the study, researchers analyzed tissue samples taken from 10 men with prostate cancer with an average age of 65, whose prostate had been removed as part of their treatment of the disease. Now, they also analyzed non-cancerous tissue taken from the opposite side of the organ.
Okay, stop for just a second. I have to ask a question, and it's an actual serious question. I know I don't do that often, but I'm going to go for it this time. I'm feeling lucky. What exactly is the purpose of the prostate?
I don't know the answer to that question.
I mean, that's fair. I didn't think you did. I sure as hell don't. And I'm sure I could look it up, or one of our trolls could look it up and spit it in the chat if they wanted to. I'm just curious, is this thing like your spleen where you can afford to live without it, basically?
Well, yeah, it's the semen pump is what Sir Bemra says. So yeah, it's kind of an important thing.
Oh, that would make a lot of sense then, because like when you massage a man's prostate, dude, like he'll shoot across the room. That explains a lot. You're literally priming the pump when you're tickling his fucking prostate. Okay. Proceed.
All right. Microplastics were present in 90% of the tumors and 70% of the non-cancerous samples. The cancerous tissue contained 2.5 times the amount of plastics on average than the non-cancerous tissue, with approximately 40 micrograms of plastic per gram of tissue. Now, this study is not the first to find microplastics in prostate cancer tumors. A 2024 study published in The Lancet from researchers in China also found higher levels of plastics in tumors compared to nearby tissue.
Okay, hold on, because I'm still stuck on this particular organ, no pun intended. So, Sir Bemro said that it's the semen pump. So I'm going to ask an obvious follow-up question. If you have your prostate removed, does that mean that, you know, no more pop fizz? Like what?
Yeah, inquiring minds want to know. Now, Loeb said the new study used more precise techniques to measure the different plastics found in the samples. Now, the researchers also took extensive steps to avoid contamination that could have skewed the results. The ubiquity of plastic makes studying the presence of microplastics in human tissue challenging, not to mention the size of the particles, right? Was the plastic actually found in the body, or was it introduced through plastic used in the research? Although I think that's a lot of fear, uncertainty, and doubt. If they're that deep into the tissue, it's probably came there, right? Especially at the quantities they're finding it.
Why am I disturbed that you're discussing an organ that is found in the anus and you're talking about going deep? I'm just asking.
Yeah, exactly. So now Loeb said the new study. Yeah. So, okay. We already did that. So previous studies that have been identified that have identified microplastics in post-mortem brain tissue and cardioid artery plaques that have been criticized for their methodology, including suggestions that the measurements may have been influenced by lab contamination. This is obviously written by people that assume that this. They're not being smart about this. Now, with this in mind, Loeb said extra stringent precautions were taken in her study, which took a year of planning. When conducting the surgical prostate removal, she said plastic was eliminated from the operating room as much as possible, and the team deliberately accounted for contamination in their analysis. Now, I would say, if anything, this might have been overly conservative because the samples we took were from deep in the middle of the prostate, so it's unclear how much anything could have actually touched these samples, Loeb said.
Yeah, I don't think that this was a contamination. I think if they were that far into that particular organ, it was deposited there through, you know, the consumption, a lab error.
Yeah. So the tumor and the benign tissue samples were from the same patient and underwent exactly the same handling. So the fact that we're seeing a high concentration of plastics in the tumor can't really easily be explained by a contamination. Yeah. Again, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. Because, we don't want to prove that. We don't want the fact that microplastics are out there is actually, you know, we don't want that happening, right? Now, about one in eight men in the U.S. will be diagnosed with prostate cancer at some point in their lifetime, according to the American Cancer Society. I don't know how they figured that out. Over the past decade, cases of late-stage disease have increased annually by 2.6% in men under 55, 6% in men aged 55 to 69, and 6.2% in men 70 and older. Now, the fact that it's being detected in tumors means that from a public health perspective, this issue deserves really serious attention, said the expert that wasn't involved with the study. We should begin implementing strategies to limit the exposure because we really don't know what it's actually doing, but it's something that should not be there. That's for sure. Now, according to Eisenberg, microplastics could be driving higher levels of oxidative damage in the cells to the prostate. A lot of oxidation in other places as well, right? As well as impacting immune function. Now, Loeb said they might also be increasing inflammation in the tissue as well as helping transport potentially carcinogenic chemicals such as the phthalates and bisphenols into the prostate. Greater exposure to these chemicals, which are commonly found in plastic packaging, have previously been associated with prostate cancer. Now, at the same time, pinning down whether the plastic particles are playing a role in the development or progression of the disease will be far from straightforward. However, the fact that they're even there at all is problematic. Does nobody not see this? Yeah. I mean, Jesus. Like,
I'm amazed it has taken this long for them to be even starting the research on whether or not these microplastics are getting into basically any of the organs. You know, why are we just stopping at the prostate? Why are we not looking at other organs like livers and kidneys and things like that? Obviously, post-mortem. Okay, we're not going to go harvesting livers and kidneys. You know, this isn't Hannibal Lecter Hospital. But I think there needs to be more research done to find out just exactly what the depth and breadth of the risk of these microplastics in consumption-wise in people's bodies is.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that's also, if I think about it, right, you know, just an example, right? We used to get Coke in glass bottles. I remember as a kid in the 70s, you could, that's how you got them. At some point in the 80s, they started adding these plastics.
We have glass Cokes.
Yeah, we do.
We have an entire case from Christmas of Mexican Coke in glass bottles. That is hands down some delicious Coca-Cola on the very rare occasions when we put a little life into living and ice one of those bad kittens down.
Yeah, well, anyway, it's just more FUD from the media, you know, that they don't want to, you know, nobody want, they're not quite ready to tell you the truth yet, but it's out there if you look for it. And that's part of what we do here is we kind of read between the lines, help you read between the lines and let you know how to stay healthy, happy, full of love and abundance. That's what we're about here. So, but we're also about silly shit.
Speaking of being full of health, happiness, love, and abundance, none other than the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Sir Rev Cybertrucker with his cavalcade of stupidity.
Hi-dee-ho, pedalheads, and welcome to Sir Reverend Cybertrucker's cavalcade of stupidity. And since I'm MIA, here's Phone Boy to take over.
Okay, so yeah, I always have something on cue in case Rev Cybertrucker is busy living his life, which he's doing this week. So
he is rushing to a deadline, from what I understand. So good luck to him, and you know, be safe, keep it shiny side up, my man.
Yeah, that's right. Well, let's talk about James Cecil Dickens, who was born in December 19th of 1920 and died on January 2nd of 2015, who's better known by his stage name of Little Jimmy Dickens, was an American country music singer and songwriter famous for his humorous novelty songs, his small size, so he's fun size like Lorian, right?
Very fun size. He was not bigger than a handful of minutes, for sure.
Yeah, and his rhinestone-studded outfits, which he's given a credit for introducing into live country music performances. Now, he started as a member of the Grand Ole Opry in 1948 and was inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame in 1983. Before his death, he was the oldest living member of the Grand Ole Opry. Now, this track was released in 1965. So, we present to you Little Jimmy Dickens, May the Bird of Paradise Fly Up Your Nose.
One fine day as I was walking down the street, spied a beggar man with rags upon his feet. Took a penny from my pocket, in his tin cup I did drop it. And I heard him say as I made my retreat, "May the bird of paradise fly up your nose. May an elephant caress you with his toes. In her hose. May the bird of paradise fly up your nose." My laundry man is really on his toes. Found a $100 bill among my clothes. When he called me,
Now we're going to play the rest of that in Studio 33, of course.
Yes, exactly. So now it's time for Tales from Rideshare question mark.
Did I work this week?
Not doing rideshare.
I'm telling you, we'll talk about it in Toast and Jam. I was going to work, and then things happened.
Well, I'm a bum in the sun, and I'm having fun, and I know you know I got no special plans.
Yeah, and before we do that, though, we want to we would like to ask you, if you have not already weighed in on our weigh-in topic this week, which is what's your first sign of spring where you're at? Call or text 253-237-3321 and do that. Now, meanwhile, honey, what did we eat tonight?
I'm making like actual food that's cooked.
We're going to Denny's?
Well, I, for some reason, decided that we should have some broccoli and cheddar stuffed chicken breast for dinner. And the next thing I knew, there was a cheese sauce being made, broccoli being chopped, and chicken being prepared for one of the most delicious dishes that I have ever made. And you kept raving with every bite that it was...
It's like an orgy in my mouth, and everybody's coming.
Oh, it's an orgy. Got it.
Yeah, and I think it's actually, it was really good. But it's, of course, you were kind of constructing the recipe for this on the fly, right? And,
Yeah, because a lot of the stuff that I make is pretty much just, it pops into my head and I'm like, well, fuck it. Let's see where this goes.
Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of prep work that has to occur. So we had to, you know, and I'm actually helping out with some of that prep too, because we do a lot of it, you know, sort of off camera, right? Things like grating the cheese and even some of the other stuff, but it requires us to be very organized about, you know, sort of what we're doing. Like I said, it actually has been a good thing for us in general, because it's kind of forced us to have a little more structure. And also, yeah, moving to 9 p.m. Also helps as well, right? The whole process of doing these videos is, I mean, I was telling Phoenix earlier, I'm like, you know, we're doing these videos to kind of, it's kind of like, well, for the people that didn't have somebody to like shoulder surf while, growing up to learn how to cook, I didn't have that. And certainly my ex didn't even want to bother to teach me anything. And so as I'm sitting there watching on the GoPro as you're doing all the things, and of course I'm because you're wearing the thing on your chest, right?
That's why we call it the titty cam.
That's why we call it the titty cam, because it's about that level. Because you know, the way I learned how to cook was just basically kind of, I mean, my mom showed me a couple things and I kind of figured it out from there, right? That's as much as I know about cooking. So, you know, I joke, I said, well, and sometimes even when we're doing this, I go, honey, you might want to show that on camera because that's not something everybody would know. I mean, that we like knowing when the sauce was blended, right? I think that was the one I...
Oh, yes. Because you have to do the cheese sauce on a super low heat so as not to break your dairy.
Yeah, exactly. So we actually did... my contributions are doing some photography and also saying, hey, you might want to show this on cam, or you know, noting when you said salt versus pepper. That's happened.
That's twice that I've done that, and I really don't know why, because I just need to be, again, much like when doing the show, I need to slow down because it's obvious in my hand that there's fresh ground black pepper. Why I'm saying the word salt, I do not know.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so okay. Let's talk about, let's talk about last night.
Oh, last night. Yes. I had an interesting week, which of course the last 3 weeks has culminated on Fridays with my internship being just, oh, so fun. As I've said before, this literally could be a remote thing. We do nothing. We have an email that tells us what she wants us to do and how to put it together, and yeah, this literally all could be done remotely, but you've heard me bitch about that before. Here was and there's actually going to be a picture that will accompany this story because this is two separate things. So I decided that I was going to indulge in a little bit of libations last night. That is why I was not on microphone, is because I decided that I was just going to take a night and kind of decompress and zero out. And I didn't want to be public. And since it's Rideshare Radio and I didn't need to be public, I decided against being public. But what I didn't decide against is making sure that I keep up with my schoolwork, which has been mountingly difficult because it just seems like every week there's more and more. But I needed to finish, and I had a deadline. It was due by 11:59 Eastern time, and I began it at about 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock Eastern time. I'm not sure which. Really fucking late. But, and this is why I have said, no one should be subjected to Microsoft Word. It is evil. It is horrible. Fuck Windows.
Well,
the simulator that belongs to this Microsoft window.
Well, actually, the simulator is actually worse because if you don't do it exactly the way that the simulator wants you to do it, you click in the wrong place, you
burn an attempt and you only have three, and then it does what it asked you to do, but you don't get credit for it.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, we this is
And if you were tuned into Rideshare Radio last night, you heard Phone Boy having to pause and run downstairs to the Phoenix because Phoenix was literally threatening to put her fist through a $1,500 fucking laptop. And she was, by all rights and responsibilities, the most angry she has been in a very long time, which then culminated in why my finger is very bruised. Because at some point, I was so pissed that I took my mouse and I slammed it down on the bed, and it bounced. And when it bounced, it annihilated my finger something fierce. I'm bruised from almost my first knuckle all the way past my big knuckle and halfway down my finger. Like I said, I will post a picture in the chat, but this is why we should not throw temper tantrums when Microsoft Word pisses us off. And also, once I finally got done dealing with my Microsoft Word project being a pain in the butt, because that simulator sucks epically, well, then a COG game broke out. I don't know how the hell that happened. But by that time, yeah, I was pretty well buzzing. And again, didn't want to be on the microphone, but I wanted to play. Until my computer just completely ate the damn game. And I'm like, you know what? I'm done. I have nothing left in me. Technology apparently does not want me to interact with it in a meaningful way. So I just noped. I was like, I can't. This is ridiculous. And yes, Sir Bemrose, I blame Cotton Gin too. Cheating little shit.
Yeah. Well.
No. He just had better answers. I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, that's one of the things we do in the after party is, you know, either
kind of Lotus After Dark, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, we play cards against humanity. We might do that tonight. We'll see. But
talk shit.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. Is what we do. So it's good. It's good fun. But I think we're playing a different card game now, unless we've got anything else to talk about in the Toast and Jam.
I don't know. I can't remember. Well, you had gone to McKay's
because
they're closing.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. I went to McKay's. Yeah. So McKay's is a used record shop. They also they all kinds of media, right?
They've got Funko Pops. They've got old vinyls, CDs,
books.
They have books.
Yeah, exactly. So I was scrolling through the
DVDs too.
Yeah. So I was scrolling through the news as I do when I'm looking for stories for the show, and I saw an article in one of the Knoxville papers that talked about McKay's closing, and they're closing their Knoxville location because they sold the property to some property developer that's probably gonna, and they decided they're just closing the store in Knoxville. They're not relocating or anything. I mean, they have other locations. They have in Chattanooga. They've got one in Nashville and a couple other places. But yes, the store in Knoxville is closing. So I went there. So as part of this, the internship, I'm actually driving Phoenix over to Knoxville, because gives me an opportunity to be in Knoxville
it's driving Miss Lazy.
Exactly. As she says into my microphone, as she's whatever the fuck she's doing back there, probably getting some. Refilling her coffee beverage. So I went in this and I found a few things, right, and that I wanted. Now, I will tell you that there were so many people in there. Now, where they have the records is like a second floor, but it's like this kind of narrow, balcony kind of thing. And they've got things on both sides, and you got people dragging their kids with their carts of kids. Right through this place. Well, and you've also got old people in there, you know, when they're in their walkers sitting here. It gets really narrow in certain places. It was really bad. And I'd found a few things. And then I went downstairs to go get in line. And I looked at the line and I realized it was going about halfway around the building. And I went, no. I actually opted out and said, no, there's nothing here that I found that I probably couldn't get on like eBay or something like that, which we actually did.
Well, subsequently, you kind of stole my thunder on that one in a way, because I was going to say, you know, one of the albums that you opted to nope on because you didn't want to wait in a line halfway across, you know, around the building, was An Evening Wasted with Tom Lehrer.
Yes, which, yeah, and then you found it on eBay. You also found that was the year that was, right?
That's right, and I purchased them both. I actually won That's the Year That Was.
Yeah.
For an obscene bid of a whole $5.
Yeah, that's great.
And I am elated because it's got some fantastic tracks on it. We love us some Tom Lehrer here, and we love us some vinyl, which is why it was so important when you had said, yeah, I didn't want to wait in this line. I immediately picked up my Fondle slab and was like, eBay. Oh, there it is. Whoop. Done.
Exactly. So, yeah. So something came out of it, but now it has been kind of interesting. I used to work in a Starbucks all the time, and I've tried to do it down here like once or twice. No, it's just not. There's no point in it. You know, I don't. But when I'm someplace that I, you know, it's like I'm not. Yeah, because Knoxville's a good, you know, hour or more away, right? And so, when I'm kind of hanging out while, you know, you're doing your internship, hanging out in Starbucks is not the worst thing. It's just I used to do that all the time. It's kind of weird to do it now. And yeah, it's close enough to the UT campus. Like last week, there was a lot of college people there that were hanging out and studying or whatever they were doing. And the previous times I was there, it was not college people. I think it was a different mix of people. So I don't know. But it's also nice that the weather is finally starting to warm up so I can actually sit outside. It's actually quieter to sit outside, even though it's like right there on Kingston Pike. It's still quieter than sitting inside.
And remember, we are on the cusp of spring break.
Oh, yes, this is true. And that might cause some issues as well. So,
yeah, it causes. Oh, shit. You know what, Phone Boy? I just thought about something.
What's that?
Oh, that does actually create an interesting quandary.
What's that?
I wonder if we're supposed to go to our internship the week of spring break.
You might want to check that.
That is probably going to be an email of professionalism like, we are technically still students.
Yeah.
And I haven't even checked with any of the UT-lets to see when their spring break is to know.
Well, no, but they're...
They coincide with us sometimes.
Yeah, you know, this... But I mean, even the people that are in your internship, they're Rowan State students, are they not?
Oh, the ones I refer to as the two mouth breathers.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're our school.
Yeah, exactly.
They belong to us.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say.
Yeah, but still, Foam Boy, this is literally being held in UT.
Right.
On the campus, in their building thing. What I'm saying to you is, if UT's on spring break, and we're on spring break the same week, that would make sense that we're not doing our internship, but I don't know if their break and our break are the same week. So that is something.
I mean, I'm sure this will come up at some point, or maybe it doesn't even apply in this case. Who knows? I mean, there's lots of.
Well, it's going to be an interesting little wrinkle, and I'll tell you why. If their spring break doesn't align with ours, that would be 2 weeks of no internship.
Yeah, or something. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, the point is that something...
Maybe I'm looking at this from the wrong way, and I could be, but I'm kind of the opinion that I'm still a student, even if you're supposing to be paying us.
Yeah. Well,
not expect me to come in that Friday of my spring break. I'm off.
Yeah, I have...
I'm just hoping that's how this filters down.
I have no idea, but anyway, some questions need to be asked. And I'm going to ask some questions of tarot now, I think, because I think we're done with the Toast and Jam segment, so we're going to play some cards of a different kind. Yeah, well, there you go. I mean, we're actually, yeah, so we're bringing out the tarot deck, and this time I've got the Starborn Arcana tarot that I've been out here, and
I have a quick question, Foam Boy. Where did you acquire that deck?
On Amazon. There'll be a link in the show notes, of course.
No. I wasn't doing that for a plug. I was literally doing it because I was watching you shuffle.
Yeah.
And I like the blue iridescence and everything, but I think the cards themselves are kind of ugly.
Yeah, it's hit or miss. I mean, I thought this was interesting because this is actually one of the few decks I've seen that has like, again, it's actually like astral stuff or like spirit, like spaceman and stuff like that, or, you know, that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's a different sort of thing. Right. So when I was getting inspired to look through decks on Amazon, this was one that popped out at me. So some of the stuff is, like I said, the imagery is on, it's a little different. And that's what I've noticed with a lot of these tarot decks is they've kind of, you know, there's many different ways to sort of represent these things, right? And that's what they're done. But this is out of the Starborn Arcana deck, and I will of course have a link in the show notes, and I'll put a picture of the tarot draw, dude. I'm planning to only draw three cards here. Let's see what we get here. Well, we have the Lovers card in reverse, right? That had come out, and the Lovers talks about, you know, the Lovers. You know, it can refer. I'm gonna actually have to look this up because usually when we talk about lovers, it's sometimes a couple, but if it's upside down, it might be maybe there's a conflict of some sort, right? Which is
okay. I'll admit it. I'm leaving you. Fuck this noise.
Yeah. However, or you know, there's maybe some unresolved things that are going on. There, right? This is what this card might refer to. But I need to draw a couple.
Not
more
with
cards.
Us though, because we're epically wonderful.
We're epically wonderful, right? So, the Lovers in reverse. Yeah, there's definitely some sort of a conflict there that we need to. I mean, it's certainly not harmonious, which would, you know, the Lovers would usually indicates that. And in this imagery, like I said, the imagery on this is a little weird. It almost looks like trees or bushes or something that are you know, intertwined together with some sort of angel above them or something. Like I said, I'll put a link to when I'm done drawing the cards, I'll post a picture. Okay. Now we also have the reverse tower, right? And I would say because of the conflict, right, that there's now the tower card is what we call and then it's funny because in this card, if you look at it, honey, it's got like a T-Rex on the, you know, that's what it looks like, right? So you got the dinosaur
asteroid. What do you call it? Yeah. Meteor shower. Not meteor shower. Jesus Christ. What the fuck is that? It's like an asteroid shower. Like, well, help me out here.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there's meteors and then there's an asteroid. Yeah, it's the asteroid that killed the dinosaur. Yeah. So, you know, this is causing some sort of, but yeah, there might even be that conflict, the fact that conflict is going on is preventing you from moving forward, right? Because the tower is called in, right? When it clears away the stuff it makes room for new, right? This comes a couple of cards after the death, right? So death is a, you know, death doesn't necessarily mean you die, but maybe something ends in your life, right? And you have to, and you go through this period of time where you have to clear away stuff, right? Because in order to make room for something new, right? Even if you know, you want new things in your house, you got to make room for it most likely. And you got to get rid of some old stuff, right? That's kind of, that's what the tower is doing. And the fact that it's in reverse suggests that, yeah, maybe it's not, this hasn't happened yet. Or this is, something's holding you back, right? And maybe whatever the conflict, that's represented by the Lover's card is actually something that is actually the fact that you may be refusing to deal with it, right, is what's maybe holding you back. And so now we've got we'll do one more card here, because I don't, you know, I can do this forever. And then we've got the Empress in reverse, right? Which is, I've got three reverse cards, which is a little interesting, but if you don't, I can say, right, if you, so the Empress is somebody who is, you know, spiritually aligned, in tune, usually maybe in touch with their feminine side, but sometimes, right, you're not moving forward, you're not moving forward, yeah, it's keeping even you as a person stuck, and not getting, you know, not just, you know, not only is it preventing you from moving forward, it's preventing you from maybe moving forward in your physical life, but it's also maybe spiritually not helping you. So you really need to sort of, you know, all of the different conflicts that you might have in your life, you know, at some point, you know, they don't need to be there, right? It's that conflict. I mean, that's what the universe does, but that's what the world we've been living in has been creating, this conflict, right? And it's prevented us, and it is actually prevented us from, it's just keeps coming, right? It's like the amount of news, right? The amount of things, it's the amount of sources of news, and I mean, since we grew up, right, we used to watch the 6 o'clock news or the 11 o'clock news or whatever, right, depending on where we lived. You know, yeah, we didn't get news all the time. Now we get it. Now we get it continuously. And it's definitely keeping, I think all of that stuff is keeping us away from,
constantly being bombarded by all of that is causing brains to be in a constant state of fight or flight. And that's why people are losing their shit, because they are constantly on social media or having some kind of screen in front of their face telling them what they should think, what they should feel. You know, they're whipping up the fear porn. They're, you know, cranking up the propaganda. It's no wonder that people are unstable.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, I'm posting a link to the draw I did, and I could go on. We did a draw behind the mic recently that ended up being pretty relevant, I think, and you know, so you know,
pretty spot on.
Yeah,
too.
Pretty spot on too. So yeah, and like I said, this is, you know, I like doing this, because if the universe wants to tell me something, one of the ways it'll do it is it'll tell me to go do a tarot draw. So I don't even always know what it's about, but anyway, this is the draw I've done, and like I said, there'll be a link. Did I actually upload the damn thing? Let me see if I actually did. I thought I had already done it. Okay, there's the button. There we go. All right. So now I think, honey, it's time for the pedal heads to weigh in.
The world needs a wake up call. We're gonna phone it in
to 253-237-3321 to find out, what is your first sign of spring? And of course, we usually always lead off with the current matriarch petal head, which is Mama T. And she says, I know it's not technically spring yet, but to me, when I have to run the air conditioner during the day and turn the heat on at night, that's close enough. I agree with that. You know, that's a really interesting way to look at it.
Yeah, I know. We've had to do that here, but I mean.
Yeah, we haven't had to turn on the air conditioner necessarily, but opening the doors to let some of that beautiful fresh air in and the stale winter air out has been wonderful.
Yeah, I agree. Now, we have, we did get some calls from our pedal heads.
Woohoo!
And so let's play this one.
Hey, guys. First sign of spring is when the daffodils in my yard come up. That's my first sign of spring, and also when the trees start budding the blooms. Love you guys. Hope you have a great show. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye. Thanks, Woogie. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I think that as soon as you see the daffodils and the crocuses starting to pop, it's definitely spring is a-coming.
Yeah.
Fuck the groundhog.
Yeah, well, we don't. Yeah. I haven't seen any flowers around here, but I've heard the birds, which is.
Oh, my gosh. I have a question for you, though. Are you hearing the tree frogs?
No, not yet.
I swear to God, I was hearing the tree frogs. Maybe I'm hallucinating.
Yeah.
But I think I was.
Yeah, you might have. And actually, that was when I, in the. We had these little tiny frogs. I had a retention pond, like, right next to the Wisteria Lane house. And usually, about this time of year, you'd start. At the end of February, you'd start hearing the frogs. So, yeah, that's.
Okay, so it's actually possible that I am hearing the frogs. You just happen not to be. Not a big deal.
No, I haven't. But like I said, but Wisteria Lane's in a completely, you know, it's a completely different environment altogether.
It's a completely different environment.
That's exactly right. So, okay, let's play the next voicemail. I think from somebody in the Pacific Northwest.
Yes. Okay, so here's the answer. Actually, you're going to get three for the price of one. The happy first answer is going to be the first sign of spring, and what makes it happy is going to be weather. Beautiful, warm, happy weather. So you've got great people running around in see-through summer and spring dresses. I mean, seriously, who doesn't want to see tits and ass hanging out? And then we've got another one. That answer is going to be chirping birds, because, of course, who wants to wake up in the morning to the sound of chirp, chirp, chirp? Without a BB gun or a slingshot, something like that. And for me, first sign of spring, now what makes me happy? Going out on the deck, looking down on the lawn, and seeing the Easter bunny shagging all of the neighborhood bunnies. Because, of course, he needs to get his allotment of eggs for Easter. Anyway, have a great day. I come by,
Dame Bemrose. That's
Thank you, Dame Bemrose. And I want to tell this cute little anecdote in relation to that email, because I'm sitting in the green room enjoying my first toke of the day, just trying to get my head right and get motivated. And all of a sudden, my phone starts going, douchebag, douchebag. And I scared the shit out of me. I look down and the voice of the universe is on my screen. I'm like, why am I getting a call from Dame Bemrose? She meant to call 253-237-3321 and leave that voicemail, but instead she called one of the head pedals over here.
Exactly.
And it was funny because when I answered, she was like, oh shit, I called the wrong number. It's like, no, Dame Bemrose, it's never the wrong number when you call to say hi, because we love when you call, we love when you leave voicemails. And messages. I need a new tongue. I come by.
Exactly. All right, we got one more voicemail here. That's been the one of our regular callers.
Howdy, howdy, howdy. Whether or not you're in a restroom in a coffee shop or you're at your computer, you know, whatever. Yeah. I don't see you guys post a question, so I don't know what the question is. So, first time you ever left a vocal mail while in a public restroom? I don't know. Anyways, be now. So, all right. See you next time, boy. Appreciate you guys. Love you guys. And whether or not it's toilet flush in the background or you're just crazy, go ahead and give a hearty, hearty cacao.
Okay, I'm pretty sure I post. So I must.
Oh my gosh, did we not post the subject?
I thought I posted it.
That would be a. That would absolutely be rare for you not to have posted it. My goodness.
Yeah, I remember typing it this morning. That's the worst part about it.
Wait. Because I do remember you saying, oh my God, I didn't do a show post.
Yes, and I did actually go do a show post. I thought I did, but apparently I didn't.
You never did a show post for
today. Yeah, I just went to go look and I went, oh shit, I never did. It never actually got posted. So yeah, I fucked up. All right. So this is what happens. I'm sure there's a womp womp here or something like that. Jesus Christ.
Nope. Something much more fitting.
You're fired. Get out of here.
Yeah. If I'm not here, there's no show.
I mean, that's true, because I still haven't learned how to turn the nerd knobs and run this whole thing. I have to say, that's actually been one of the things that I'm actually kind of afraid of, is like something happening to you and me not being able to reach out. I mean, I know that there's people, if I really needed to, that could help me, you know, walk me through getting on the stream to at least, you know, tell people like, hey, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, anyway, that's, yeah, I think it's set up.
I don't even know why I brought that up. It just was something that has kind of been in my mind, like, if ever X, like, that's one of the things I've been afraid of is, you know, but that's something to talk about behind the mic.
Yeah,
we're not going to bring down this wonderful show we're having.
No. But you should tell us what your first sign of spring is.
Well, I'm kind of with Wookie. When I see the daffodils blooming, definitely the tree frogs, the birds chirping,
seeing
the warm weather.
Seeing leaves on the trees as we're like going down the interstate or something, right? Well, that's
okay. So one thing I've noticed here in the beautiful, dirty South that we love so much is this false spring that we get in the middle of winter where it gets nice and warm for a few days and the trees are like, ooh, spring! Pop, 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 pop. And then the weather goes, ha! Just fucking kidding. And it gets cold. So I wait until the calendar tells me that it's spring before I even look at those blooms and consider that to be a sign of spring, because how easy it is to trick the trees into thinking that spring has arrived early and then getting absolutely just, you know, slammed by the cold weather. It's just a terrible thing. But yeah, that's basically, you know, for me, first signs of spring is, you know, the daffodils and the nice warm breezes, the tree frogs and chirpy chirpies, stuff like that.
Anyway, yeah. So, all right, I think we've gotten past spring. Well, maybe not, but if you have more things to, if you have you have other ways to wish spring upon you, call 253-237-3321 and let us know about it. We'd love to hear about it. Now, meanwhile, we've now entered the second half of the show, and of course our show will never ever be
brought to you by Carl's Jr.
Why do you keep saying that?
Because they pay me every time I do. It's a really good way to make money.
Yeah, they I like money, though.
Dude, are you going to continue to step on clips today?
No, yes.
Go away. I have to read this next story for everybody. PMI. Yeah, one of those made-up conditions that the pharmaceutical company likes to vomit. It's all too common. And here are the symptoms and what to do if you notice them.
Oh God, here we go with this shit again.
So as more and more people talk about their experiences, the topics of menopause and perimenopause are no longer as taboo as they once were. But while certain symptoms of menopause are well acknowledged, hot flashes, night sweats, irregular periods, there's still more confusion about the signs of perimenopause and even what it is. So perimenopause is a natural transition in a woman's life between her reproductive years and menopause. And the transition usually lasts for most women a period of 4 to 9 years. According to Dr. Laura Feldman, a psychiatrist in women's behavioral health at the Cleveland Clinic. So we know this is going to be some bullshit. So while it's all part of getting older, perimenopause doesn't get the attention that menopause gets when it comes to seeking support from medical professionals, friends, and family. Even entire Reddit communities exist for folks in the perimenopause transition to commiserate and ask, is this perimenopause or am I just having a bad day? Oh, Christ. Commonly, people in these online communities complain of rage, anger, or anxiety induced by perimenopause. Or could it just be the world's fucking nuts and it has nothing to do with the fact that you're in perimenopause? Could have a lot to do with
So we've been talking about this book, Selling Sickness, right? And it was written it came out in 2005, which is just before social media. I wonder what the authors of this book would say today about social media, because I guarantee you they are shills in Reddit, on all these different social media platforms propagating the same bullshit messages and getting paid to do it. And it looks like it's just some random person. And, you know, of course they have, you know, they're supposed to disclose they're getting paid or it's an ad or something like that. Like anybody fucking does that. And what are they going to, and how are they going to prove it or not prove it? I mean, having these bullshit laws doesn't make any sense whatsoever because people, how can they just lie like that? Well, nobody's
they
holding,
do.
Yeah, because nobody's holding them accountable and there's no way to hold them accountable. So how much of this rage is actually done by legitimate people versus paid drug fluffers or whatever the fuck you want to call them?
Oh, I get what you're saying. Okay, yeah, and that's a really good point. Now, according to this article, about 65 to 70% of people, they don't say women, they say people. I find that interesting. But anyway, they get a thing called perimenopausal mood instability, or PMI, another made-up condition. And that's more common than PMS.
Now, is PMS a made-up condition?
You know, that's a really good question. I've never really sat and thought about it only because, okay, so if you want to go down that rabbit hole, we'll go down it. As a woman sitting here thinking about, you know, since cleaning up my diet, and I am still not in the peri or menopause part of my life, so to speak, despite the fact that I'm getting older. My point being, when it's time for, you know, redecorating, if you will, I don't necessarily think that I'm sitting on the roof with a, you know, an AR-15.
Well, last night you could have done that.
Oh my God. Yeah. Last night I could have done a lot of things.
Yeah. So,
because I mean, think about it as a woman. Okay. And unfortunately, we don't have a lot of women in our, in our chat group, there's very few women, and some of them are of the older variety. But at the same time, I don't know if it's really, like, real. And the reason I say that is because I can't, since cleaning up my diet, I can't think of a time when it's been time for the painters to arrive and I've been bitchy, I've been irritable, I've needed to eat a pound of chocolate, and all the tropes that go along with PMS. I mean, yes, there are actual physical symptoms, you know, you get cramps and things like that, but that's normal. That's not a fucking syndrome. That's not a condition that you need to medicate, except for maybe, you know, if it gets real, real bad, you take a Midol or something like that, or even just take, you know, I don't know, a Tylenol. I don't know. Like, I don't see medicating something away that's going to go away on its own, unless it gets to the point where it's literally causing you so much pain that you just can't take it. But that's because I don't immediately think, oh, I have a pain, let me run to Big Pharma.
Yeah, well, I remember the Midol ads from back in the day.
Oh, yes. Pamprin, Midol.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, this is probably another made up thing, right? So they're talking about, you know, one made up thing and another made up thing.
Well, I mean, Sir Bemrose has a really good point in the chat. PMS exists so that doctors can have a medical sounding diagnosis for someone being a woman.
And prescribe pharma.
Exactly. It absolutely makes me nuts.
Okay. So now, shall we continue?
Yes, we shall. Okay, now this PMI, which people have never heard of it, right? So according to this expert in obstetrician and gynecology at Stanford, it's completely unpredictable because hormone cycles become unpredictable in perimenopause. So people wake up every day and don't know how they're going to feel. They don't know if they're going to be irritable or angry or anxious or if they're going to feel normal. That's every fucking day, lady. You don't got to be a fucking woman to wake up and wonder, am I going to be angry? Am I going to be bitchy? Am I going to feel fine? Am I going to be completely anxious because I'm filling my body with garbage And my mind, too, because I'm on social media all the time. This is some stupid bullshit to be sitting there saying, oh, I don't know if when I wake up, I don't know how I'm going to feel. Please, pedal heads, and please, anyone else listening, 253-237-3321, tell me. Feedback at lotuseffect.social, or lotuseffect.show, sorry. Okay. Tell me anybody who wakes up and the first thought on their mind, or any thought in the few thoughts you have when you first wake up, is, I wonder how I'm going to feel today. No, I don't think anyone ponders how they're going to feel. They just get the fuck up and they go, oh, I feel good. Or, oh, I feel like shit. You don't pre-plan your emotions.
No, you certainly don't.
So these mood changes are a normal result of the hormonal changes that happen during perimenopause, according to experts. During this time, the ovaries produce less estrogen and progesterone as the egg supply diminishes, causing hormone levels to fluctuate wildly. These hormone fluctuations can cause unpredictable mood shifts for women when they're feeling fine to suddenly feeling anxious, irritable, and depressed. Well, no shit. Again, you don't have to medicate it away.
Yes. And in fact, that's actually something that I'm remembering in the discussion in the Vinnie Tortorich group on Facebook. The there's definitely a lot of women in that group. And
there's
a lot of them are older at this point. And yeah, I think when they went through that time, it was a lot less painful because their diet was relatively clean. So it's not to say that it wasn't an issue, but it's a lot better than it could be.
Well, and the fact that we've talked about when you eat clean and you're not putting all this trash panda food into your body, it helps with your mental stability. And because of the fact that, you know, PMS and PMI have a lot to do with hormones, emotions, and things like that. Of course, if you're not already predisposed to having anxiety and irritability and depression and shit like that because your diet is garbage, the hormone fluctuations aren't necessarily going to spin you into a spiral like they would someone who's not eating cleanly. Now, while the term perimenopausal mood instability, or PMI, is not recognized by all medical professionals, it describes a very real experience for many people in perimenopause. Now, here's what the pharma companies who are paying PR firms to socialize as a medical condition want you to know about it. People dealing with these perimenopause-induced mood changes may notice irritability, tearfulness, anxiety, low mood, difficulty coping with stress, and sometimes worsening PMS symptoms. According to this reproductive endocrinologist out of Pacific Northwest Fertility, an Ivy Center, and the host of Brave and Curious podcast, oh Christ, she's a podcaster, run! Some people describe feeling emotionally on edge or overwhelmed in ways they've never experienced before. Yeah, because every day's fucking different. And the way you dealt with A today is not the way you're going to deal with A tomorrow, possibly. But I digress. Now, it's also likely that these mood changes will occur alongside physical perimenopause symptoms, she said, like trouble sleeping, hot flashes, irregular periods, and brain fog. Oh,
I have trouble sleeping and brain fog. Does that mean I have PMS?
Well, I do accuse you sometimes of growing a VJ, so I mean, it's possible you are at that age.
Jeez. Go on.
So these mood changes won't affect every person who goes through perimenopause, and while it's hard to predict who will be affected, there are some factors that make this PMI more likely in some groups. The same's true for folks who had mood symptoms around menstruation. Of course, they encourage you to speak to your doctor about treatment options.
Drugs.
Curiously, they didn't mention the drug. So this must be where the pharma industry seeds the condition before they magically announce the treatment for it.
Yeah, that's one of the things that is in selling sickness. Is actually one of the things that they show multiple examples of a PR, basically a pharma company paying a PR firm to Basically fish for a condition, and you know, and widen it out enough, and get, you know, generate enough scariness about it. You know, use celebrities and God knows who else to basically.
Oh God, they've talked so much in this book about the different celebrities that they have spokes hold for these particular drugs, either because they know someone with the condition, they have the condition themselves, or whatever. It's gross. Yes. You got to read this book, you guys.
Yeah, again, it came out in 2005. They'd have a whole lot more to cover, especially with the COVID-19 vaccines. My goodness.
Oh my gosh, I would love to know what they would print if they dug into that particular debacle.
Yeah. When we see these stories, it's almost, I almost like covering these stories as an example of, yeah, they're just seen in another condition. What else is new, right?
Well, that's really what it is, because I wish we had, you know, some of the older, you know, female pedal heads here to talk about that, you know, when they first started going through this, and even myself, you know, I'm not old enough to be in that condition yet. However, I can remember, you know, when my mom reached that age and whatnot, this did not exist. There was not this magical condition that because you're having a shitty day, oh, you need to take a pill because you're perimenopausal. No, my boss is a fucking asshole. I just stepped in dog shit and I gotta go home and make dinner. No, it's not PMI. It's life.
Well, all right. Now, this is life. This next story. Oh, this is a new term. It's called fibromaxing. Oh, my. Wait, so, okay, wait a minute. Is that a channel that they used to have, Fibermax?
Fibermax.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, this is a new diet trend the nutritionists love.
Haven't you heard? Fiber is really good for you.
Yeah, for decades, nutrition experts have been urging Americans to eat more fiber. Even Saturday Night Live got in on the bit. For decades, Americans have ignored them. But now it looks like they're finally paying attention. No, they're not paying attention. That's being foisted upon them by industry. But let me continue.
Oh my God, and how? You can't go anywhere anymore. And I know it's not fiber, it's protein, but this is, you know, fiber is going to be the next trend where it's going to be this, you know, bullshit marketing term, if you will, smeared everywhere because we're going to be adding fiber to everything.
Yes. Well, the question is it the fiber you should be consuming? That's a different question. First came healthier sodas, boasting not just lower sugar than regular pop, but added fiber too. In January 2025, the creator of the famously indulgent Jenny's Splendid Ice Creams unveiled a fiber bar brand called Flora, which joined a growing list of new packaged food products, and that's your big problem right there. If you need more fiber, there's a lot of things that you could, you know, eat vegetables. Eat vegetables.
Eat more kale. Eat more kale.
Yeah.
Eat more kale.
But this is just more fucking, this is more, you know, more ultra processed food shit, right? So, yeah.
Propaganda everywhere.
Yes, exactly. So now we're deluged by TikTok videos talking about fibermaxing, with influencers taking up chia seeds, avocados, and chickpeas. In restaurants, 45% of Americans are now actively seeking high fiber options in the menus. Okay, now how are they answering this question? How are they determining that 45% of Americans are actively seeking high fiber options on menus? What do? Ask people? They say, hey, what are you looking for in the menu? You want more fiber? And who are they asking this question to?
Oh, but wait, because the kicker comes in the next sentence.
Well, yes.
Because this information was garnered from a recent survey from a consulting firm called Revenue Management Solutions. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Now, wait, even Chris Well, I'm not even going to try to...
Kempczinski, I think.
Kempczinski?
Yeah.
Okay, so this prick is the chief executive officer at Mickey Don-Don's!
Yes.
Of course it's Mickey Don-Don's! Where are you putting the fiber in McDonald's food?
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba! Anyway.
Not a lie. But it even says they have close to zero fiber on their menu. Yeah. Duh. It's fast food.
Okay, here's the thing. I'm gonna just give you the straight poop. I don't, as far as like fiber goes, I mean, yeah, I'll eat some vegetables every now and again, but more often than not, I probably, yeah, you know, I mean, cheese is a food group in this house. We eat a lot of damn cheese, and I know that for some people, it
yeah, we do.
I shit like a fucking champion, and that's all I need to say about that.
Yeah, believe me, there's no problem in vying for cards are in this house. We are not bound up by cheese.
Yeah. So, yes, but perhaps no other moment announced fiber's arrival on the main stage like the Super Bowl commercial for Kellogg's Raisin Bran, which has William Shatner, or the Shat, or Will Shat, as he's called in the ad, teleporting into a sports bar, a living room, and a tailgate party as part of a mission to solve America's fiber deficiency.
Oh, yeah, he's the Shat, all right. You eat so much fiber, you shat yourself.
That's right. Now, all of this amounts to some long overdue attention to a nutrient whose best known benefits tend toward the scatological. Yeah. But what's that embarrassing association undersells its importance. Now, I always call fiber the street sweeper of the gut, according to a spokeshole from the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics.
That's probably one of the most truest things ever spoken.
Yeah. There's a spokeshole. Yeah.
No. Because when I think about fiber, yeah, I definitely think about that shit just like scrub brushing your colon as it goes through.
Yeah. Now it moves through the intestines, slowing digestion, absorbing water, and pushing out toxins, waste, and bacteria. It keeps our bowel movements regular, prevents constipation, and reduces the risk of colon diseases. And if that wasn't enough, it also slows the entry of sugar into the bloodstream, increases satiety, and has been linked to everything from weight loss and improved cardiovascular health to clearer skin and better moods. And still, for years, we've prioritized protein, while all fiber has been, or well, all of fiber has been treated as a punchline. Yes, yeah, so the clip that I played at the beginning of this story was Phil Hartman, which did and then Saturday Night Live, they did this in 1989. It was a spot for the fictional cereal Colon Blow. Now, yes, almost 20 years later, Kristen Wiig played Jamie Lee Curtis's filming a commercial for fiber-fortified Activa yogurt and accidentally pooping her pants mid-take.
Oh my God, have you ever tried this yogurt?
The fiber fortified stuff? No.
No, the Activia.
I probably have had it before.
Oh, it's horrible. It's the worst thing I've ever put in my mouth. I love yogurt. Yogurt is life. I miss fruit on the bottom yogurt. But I was like, oh, I was one of those weirdos. I was like, oh, Jamie Lee Curtis is selling it. I have to have Activia. I took one bite and threw the fucking carton away. I was like, how do you eat that? That's disgusting.
Yeah. So now there's nowhere near enough discussion of the fiber deficit, because more than 90% of women and 97% of men don't get enough of the nutrient each day, according to the 2020 to 2025 dietary guidelines for Americans, a result of eating patterns that are light on naturally fiber-rich foods like fruits, vegetables, beans, nuts, and whole grains, and heavily on ultra-processed ones, which tend not to have much nutrition at all. Exact recommendations vary by gender, age, and health conditions, but generally, we should be consuming about 28 to 35 grams of fiber each day, and many of us aren't even getting half that. Now, okay, I want to point something out. Whoa. No, I'm going first on this.
You know it's good when we both are yelling for the bell.
Yeah, so how is it? Okay, so they just literally said in here, ultra-processed foods, which tend not to have most nutrition at all. Which of the products that are being sold were adding fiber? They're all ultra-processed. You shouldn't be eating them anyway. It tells you right in the fucking article. But no.
Truth wants to come out.
Yeah. So if you're feeling this sense of deja vu after seeing protein show up in everything from chips to sports drinks to ice cream, you're not alone. In October, PepsiCo CEO Ramon LaGuarta said that he thought fiber would be the next protein, and that the company which bought the fiber-boosted soda brand Poppy last year, maybe it should be called Poopy, and then unveiled
its... I read that as Poopy. I just want you to know, even though I know it's Poppy.
Yeah. And then unveiled its own fiber-added version of Pepsi would release even more high-fiber foods. Look out for higher-fiber popcorn flavors under the Smart Food brand, higher-fiber Sun Chips, and a Fiber February campaign to push Quaker Oats.
Stop. Fiber February. What? Are we going to start this? Shit yourself September.
I mean, yeah, exactly.
No poop November.
Exactly. No poop November. You might be dead if you get if you actually get through it. So not to be outdone, the Coca-Cola CEO James Quincy said in January that fiber might creep into more of the company's products this year. You can put it in anything, he said during an interview on CNBC. We sell Diet Coke with fiber in Japan, and just months after adding high-protein coffee, Starbucks Corp. CEO Brian Nickel raised the possibility of adding more fiber to its menu as well. There's
not a joke. They literally have a foam that they put. It's a fiber foam. You've seen it, phone boy. I know you have.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't put that shit anywhere near me. There's a real opportunity, not surprising, to make sure we have food for how people want to eat. Snackable protein, fiber, right? He said in the company's late January earnings call. Again, ultra-processed foods. You shouldn't be eating them anyway. The nutrition expert encourages people to get their fiber from a variety of whole food sources like beans, nuts, and, of course, fruits and vegetables, but says for those struggling to do that, supplements. Maybe Metamucil gummies. Or even a fiber-fortified soda can help fill the gap. Still, she cautions, if you want to avoid a stomach ache or worse, space out your fiber throughout the day. Don't try to get it all at once. Thankfully, nobody is selling colon blow yet.
Colon blowing you.
Yes.
This is disgusting. I'm serious. This article annoyed me on levels I cannot talk about. It definitely touched me on the doll. Because if you want fiber, just eat the foods that have it. Stop pussyfooting around with Pepsi with fiber and Starbucks with fiber and God knows what else with fiber. Just eat foods that have natural fiber. And the whole thing of, you know, oh, people who don't have time. No, it isn't that you don't have time. You don't make time because it's easier. It's faster. It's quicker to just go through the drive-thru or pick up something, you know, that you throw in the oven on a sheet pan and then feed to your kids like you did something. This is unacceptable in my opinion.
All right. Well, we got one more story here. And this is also another unacceptable thing in our world.
Oh, completely. And as just an ending thought on that other thing, with all this fiber that these companies are adding to all their products, are they including a free roll of toilet paper with it? Asking for a friend. So middle-aged men may be aging faster due to forever chemicals. Dun, dun, dun.
It contains chemicals.
Does contain chemicals there, Gallagher. And I'll tell you what, it's a problem. Because in this study, published February 25th in the journal Frontiers in Aging, researchers found specific forever chemicals named fuck my life, PFNA. That's what we're going to call them. Because that word is a million-dollar word that I ain't pronouncing. And PFOSA, P-F-O-S-A. They were present in the blood of 95% of the participants. That's frightening. Higher concentrations of PFNA and PFOSA appeared to accelerate biological aging, with middle-aged men between 50 and 64 being the most vulnerable group. Using public data on a nationally representative group of 326 older women and men enrolled in 1999 and 2000, researchers studied the concentration of 11 PFAS, and epigenetic markers in blood samples and reviewed participant questionnaires on demographic, socioeconomic, and lifestyle factors. Invented in the 50s and 60s, PFNA and PFOSA are commonly used in consumer and industrial products for their water, grease, and stain repellent properties and ability to withstand heat and corrosion, according to a news release. So as to why the effects appeared strongest in middle-aged men, the authors point to lifestyle factors. We suspect that men may be at a higher risk because the aging markers we analyzed are heavily influenced by lifestyle factors such as smoking, which can compound the damaging effects of these pollutants. Study author, I'm not even going to try to pronounce that, but I can assure you it's from a Chinese university, added that Midlife is a sensitive biological window where the body becomes more susceptible to age-related stressors, which may explain why this group responds more strongly to chemical exposure.
No, it can't be the chemicals themselves, of course, but no.
Oh, no, 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 no.
Yeah.
Well, yes. So France recently banned the use of PFAS in clothing and cosmetics, and the European Union is considering a similar ban. So it's a step in the right direction. Now, for Americans, the authors suggest reducing risk by limiting consumption of packaged foods and avoid microwaving fast food containers. We've been saying this forever. Don't microwave plastic. First and foremost, stop eating prepackaged food. That's a good way, too. You know, don't drink your water out of plastic bottles. That's why we have water pitchers, because you can have filtered water that tastes just as good as bottled water without all of the forever chemicals and microparticles, microplastics all leaching in.
Yeah, there we go. Well, all right. And yes, so we're all going to die, and it's time for the last call.
Well, I'm not done yet.
Oh, God.
Yeah, well, we don't have any more calls, but that's okay.
No, but I want to point something out, because you know how we use the last call segment as the die segment at times and everything like that?
Oh, yes.
So I've been holding on to this one all day because I was doing absolutely everything. I had a hell of a busy day getting ready for the show, doing the video for the dinner and everything. And I get news pop-ups on my phone letting me know about things. And I usually just give it a quick peek, go on about my day. Today was a day where when it popped up on my news feed that the Supreme Leader Ayatollah Khomeini is no more. He gone. Oh, he dead. They got him. But I have a feeling as 47 has made this very big. I mean, he teabagged the fuck out of Iran by taking out their leader. I don't think that they're going to take it lightly. I think that we are probably headed for a war. I just want to point that out. I'm not saying I'm wishing for it. I'm not saying I want it. But I think that the way things are trending, it would not surprise me if we sent a shit ton of our troops over there and started kicking ass. And I'm worried. I have to be honest. I'm concerned.
Well, yeah. Something else that I noticed, that, and I've been hearing chatter about this about my coworkers, some of which are going to Thailand for like a sales kickoff or something like that. The Israel airspace closed on Friday, so that should pretty much tell you everything you need to know there. So. I think given the circumstances, it'll be interesting to see how those people get affected by this. I'm glad to say, we're glad it's not me that's traveling for that. That's a name I was watching. So it's like Ayatollah Khomeini has been there forever. It seems.
Oh
like.
My gosh. Yes.
Yeah. When we were kids, I think. I mean,
I literally think I can remember being in high school and him being in the subject of something in current events and realizing that I've been graduated out of high school for better than 30 years. Yeah, I'm aging myself, but it was just, look, I'm not saying like, oh, rah, rah, rah. Don't get me wrong. This actually stunned me for a moment because it was like, how do you feel about that? Like I asked myself and I invite you all, you know, to ask yourselves, how do you feel about the fact that we just wiped this dude off the fucking map? He's a vapor trail, dude. That's just crazy to me.
Yeah, although, you know, that happens in war all the time, just maybe not the leaders, but...
Well, no, and I think that might be what stunned me so much, is it's not like, oh, we bombed their embassy, or, you know, we got their number three in charge. No, we got the head dick in charge!
Yeah, I know.
That, and how long he's been in power. Like, I've seen some of the stuff that this guy has put out in media-wise. Just absolutely, like, part of me is like, good fucking riddance for the way that he's hated on America. But then the other part of me is like, but he was still a human being.
Well,
even if he was, and I quote from 47, the most evil person in history, or one of the most evil people in history.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I look at all that stuff, and I don't know who's right or wrong in any of it. It's all over there. You know, I'm only interested in it because it affects some of my Israeli colleagues, and yeah, that's, you know, I certainly don't want anything to happen to anybody over in that part of the world, but I have no control over it. So all I can do is kind of sit and watch. And, you know, again, I don't know who's right or wrong in the situation. Doesn't really matter. It's not directly affecting me. So, you know, it's.
Well, no, like I said, my head isn't lit on fire. I'm not, you know, spinning around and spiraling about it. I was just kind of taken aback for a moment, a little bit shocked, like, wow, that just happened. Type thing.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, I don't know, who was it that told you that Neil Sedaka passed away?
Oh, Tigger had, because, of course, you know, when there's a death, there's three.
Yeah.
It always goes in three.
Yeah.
So when you see that someone famous passes away, you're like, okay, who's going to be next?
Right.
And that was why she mentioned it, was because, you know, we were talking about the Grey's Anatomy star that had ALS.
Yeah.
And I don't remember who the first one was.
Yeah.
Irrelevant, but that's the point she was making. She was like, you know, oh, there's your number three. And I'm like, well, that I thought would make like number four,
yeah,
by my count, because there's been, you know,
it's probably
the Grey's Anatomy made three, from what I understood. But we're not doing, you know, we're not doing the what the fuck do they call that thing on Deadpool? Oh, you've never seen Deadpool, never mind. I can't remember, but it's like the boys on No Agenda do it. It's the list of who's going to die. Yeah. What is that thing called? Shit.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I can't. Yes, you do if you thought about it. You know exactly what I'm talking about. The Deadpool.
Well, it is the Deadpool. Yeah.
It's the Deadpool.
Yeah, there you go.
That's it.
Yeah, you said Deadpool earlier and you said no, it wasn't
Deadpool. No. What I said, if you listened, was, what was that list? They have it in Deadpool. Oh, wait, you've never seen Deadpool. That was my exact statement.
Okay. Well, no,
but that's what it's called, is the Death Pool.
Yeah, the Deadpool.
Or the Deadpool.
Yeah,
such a dork.
I actually have seen Deadpool. I've seen the first one, I think.
Oh, I didn't. I thought you hadn't. Might be.
Yeah, my kids were into it. So, all right. We're out of the line. I think, do we have anything? Yeah, it was funny because you said, how do, because I said, you said Neil Sedaka. It's like, yeah. And I started singing a song.
You did. And I was like, okay, that just proves you're old, because you immediately could pull a Neil Sedaka song out of memory.
Only because I played a single of his on a children's record player when I was that age.
That just reinforces the fact you're fackin' old.
Yeah. Okay. You know what? I mean, okay, let's get done with this crap.
Well, that's about it, really.
What?
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Fuck it. I gotta go.
Yeah, we gotta go.
Gotta go do some post-production and have a great goddamn time is what we gotta do.
Yeah, we gotta do that, sir. So, thank you all for joining us on this episode of the Lotus Effect. And
I'm so fucking over this.
It is time for this to be over.
I got an idea to end all this bullshit.
Jordan fades back. Swoosh. And that's the game!
Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. You're cool. And fuck you, I'm out.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.